Beryl Wiseman is expected to testify today at the Gomery inquiry, but now he joins me from our studios in Montreal. Good morning.
Good morning, Anthony.
When you were fundraising for the Liberal Party, take me back and tell me how you actually got into that business.
I wasn't in that business. I was an executive assistant to Erwin Kotler, and I had spent most of my career in public interest advocacy, urban development, working with social action groups, and frankly had nothing to do with the Liberal Party since the retirement of Trudeau. I thought Kotler represented the values of Trudeau liberalism, worked with him for a year, and in November of 2000, at a political cocktail, I met Joe Morcelli, Benoit Corbet, and Galliano. And they started talking to me about this project of wanting to expand the base of the party and having to get in new communities, both for money to handle the operations of the party and for their energy. And over the next couple of weeks, November, December 2000, they talked to me if I can take this project on as a consulting work with the party. I said, sure, I think I'd be interested, but only on one basis, that this not be just about money. I was not going to compromise a lifetime of relationships with social action groups and cultural communities just to sell tickets to keep the LPCQ operations going. I said, look, if you're willing, Minister, I put this in a letter.
Right, now, when you say LPCQ, that's the Liberal Party of Canada,
Section Quebec.
Right.
I said, if you're willing, Minister, to turn the office of the primordial political institution into an office of resource and assets and service to the people, in return for their involvement with the party and in return for them buying tickets to events, then I'm there. But I want your support and I want it clear in my mandate that this is going to be outreach and it's going to be help to the cultural communities and the social action groups that I've devoted my life to.
All right, now
and that was it.
Okay, now you mentioned new communities and Joe Morcelli. Who are the communities and who is this Joe Morcelli?
I'll answer it in two ways.
Sure.
The Liberal Party of Canada, since Trudeau, is not the party of inclusion. It was the party of exception. And a lot of these cultural communities, visible minorities, whose votes were always taken for granted by the Liberal Party, had no voice within the party. But the fact remains, and we didn't make the rules, you want your voice to be heard. You've got to sell some tickets. You've got to go. Even if it's, you know, even if it's a social action group that gets 10 people together, buy one ticket, send a guy to a cocktail, and scream at the minister.
Okay. But
now, Joe Morcelli had an idea to do this, and when I met him, I didn't really know him, but I found out later that he had had 20, 30 years in political organization. He was the founder of a school board in Montreal. He was, by the way, a Cavaliere della Repubblica d'Italia. He was a founder of the Italian Community Foundation, an old friend of Galliano's. He was a businessman, but he had a great deal of political organizational skills.
Now, I noticed in the Gomery inquiry, you've sort of come to be known as Mr. Morcelli's assistant. Is that accurate?
No, it wasn't accurate at all. Joe Morcelli and I are friends and will remain friends. I can't speak for everything that's been said about Joe. I don't know everything about every corner of everybody's life.
Right.
But I will tell you this. I have never seen Joe Morcelli do a dishonest thing. I have never seen Joe Morcelli harangue anybody. This is a man you could sit with. We became friends because you could sit at dinner with him, and he will quote you poetry and history in three different languages and sing you every aria in the repertoire. But more than anything, when I faced resistance to this project within the party, because remember, day to day, I was working closely with Benoit Corbet and Mr. Morcelli, and we met Galliano at least twice a month, but day to day was me going out, speaking to cultural communities, speaking to social action groups. There was one major moment after Benoit left, when Daniel Desanne became the director general.
Okay, and let's just keep the names straight here. Benoit Corbet.
Sorry, Benoit Corbet was the director general at the time I came in January 2001. He was director general, Liberal Party of Canada, Quebec wing.
Right, and Daniel Desanne replaces him.
He replaced him because Benoit decided to go and run in municipal politics with Mayor Bourque.
Okay, go ahead.
And there was one major meeting where I had done two events where basically I had to sell all the tickets and do all the organization. And finally, we were planning an October event where over 20 cultural community leaders had agreed themselves to take 20, 25 tickets each and sell them, and we had a major meeting at party headquarters.
How much were these tickets? Do you remember?
Tickets were standard, $500.
Each?
Each.
Yeah.
Daniel Desand refused to come into that room. And Joe Morcelli went and literally pulled him in. And every one of my cultural community leaders in that meeting saw what was on his face. And none of them picked up their bags of tickets. They just wanted nothing to do with the party.
What do you mean they saw it was on his face?
Daniel Desand, when he came into the party, I briefed him on all the work I was doing. The outreach, the intercessions with ministers on behalf of cultural communities, ethnic groups, even athletic groups. For example, there was an athletic group that needed 24 Canadian flags, so I called an office and got them the flags because their MP's office couldn't. Another interfaith dialogue group wanted a report to a minister. Other groups wanted a guide to what were government services, so we put together a guide strictly from the websites of the Canadian government and sent it out to about 24 groups. He wanted none of this. He wanted it stopped, and he said to me, these people are not going to sit on the Finance Commission. And I looked at him and I said, Danielle, what people? And he just gave me this cold smile, and I left his office, and though reported to him, I never talked to him again until the June meeting. And I frankly, that day in May when I met him, called Marcelli and Galliano and said, this is it. I've had it with this place. Because you have to understand, the image of the big red machine in Quebec was a false image. When I walked into Liberal Party headquarters expecting to see something spectacular, there was 12,000 square feet of space, Anthony, with six people. The first thing they asked me to do was to call the landlord and reduce the rent. It was a joke. So Benoit and I started going out and doing outreach.
Now, when you say outreach, you're essentially organizing what, Italians and Jews in Montreal?
No, Italians, Jews, Greeks, Sikhs, all the cultural communities. The anti-poverty groups, the anti-poverty coalitions, the social housing coalitions, the cultural organizations, the theater groups, the sports groups. Now, not because they necessarily have money. Obviously, social action people don't have money themselves. But all these organizations, as I explained to Galliano in my letter, have boards. These boards are composed of people of means. And they have already a culture of commitment to their organizations. Now, if they see that you're coming there from the Liberal Party of Canada, even if it's just to, as we did, go to an anti-poverty march or an anti-hunger march, they will then come to you,
right,
to your events.
They'll make donations, and that will help the party.
And they'll make donations, but you will also help their groups in appropriate ways.
Now, in your instance, when you're working with Mr. Marcelli doing this, you were being paid by the Liberal Party, right?
I was paid as a consultant by the Liberal Party, $5,000 a month, check every 2 weeks. All the stuff that Dezan talked about is such unadulterated nonsense, because what he may not have realized is that I have copies of everything. All the $300,000 in checks that I brought in, which were given to the accountant, Daniel Cloutier, which accountant, by the way, neither Mr. Corbet, nor myself, nor Mr. Marcelli, nor Mr. Galliano could ever get an accounting from, of a ledger, how much came in, because money was coming in even between events. I had the bills from the party that were sent out to people who had pledged to buy tickets, saying, official representative, Beryl Wiseman. I had the checks from the party issued to me. I had the photos of all the events, the tickets to the events printed by the party. So when he talks about rogue, parallel, that's nonsense.
I've heard what you've said, but I guess the allegation, which I think you're trying to refute, is this notion that somehow the activities of you, Beryl Wiseman, and Joe Marcelli were happening, and they were happening off the books.
Absolutely on the books. I have all the records. I deposited them with Gomery. I showed it to the RCMP. I showed it. I called them. You can't be rogue and off the books if you're paid by the party's printing the tickets, the pictures are being taken by the party photographer, the props you're using are the party's props.
Well, this notion, I'm glad you raised that notion of whether this is just an operation by a bunch of rogues, which does seem to be the line that the government is using.
It's a nonsensical line.
I used to work in Quebec City, and I remember actually scrumming then Health Minister Marc-Yvan Côté.
Right.
One of the allegations this week at Gomery is that Marc-Yvan Côté finds himself in Shawinigan,
right,
with a briefcase with $120,000 in it. Now, this is a Quebec cabinet minister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine, in English-speaking Canada, if Alan Rock, a former health minister,
right,
and McClellan, a former health minister, was found anywhere in the country with a briefcase with $120,000 doling it out to different ridings?
It's nonsense. And I got to tell you something.
You mean nonsense in the sense that it never happened?
No.
Mr. Côté says it did happen.
No. It's nonsense that it did happen. Anthony, I started in politics in 1974. My first speech for Trudeau, which is my prized memento with him sitting behind me. In 30 years, I have never heard talk of such cash. When I give talks to groups about politics, the first thing they ask me is, it's dirty, it's this, it's cash. And I tell them, you never give cash to politicians. And they say, why? I say, because they have short memories. How is it that I was able to raise $350,000 in 6 months, when the total operation cost, by the way, of LPCQ was $750 a year, in legitimate checks, and these guys are floating around with cash in their briefcases? It's insane. And you don't want to deal with people like that. Somehow I, myself, alone, managed to deal with so many legitimate businesses who are giving, and people, and we're giving legitimate contributions. I've never seen this much cash. Sure, you can pay, you could pay some kid $100 here, get a couple of trucks, here's $200 to the printer who doesn't trust the Liberal Party's credit. But 300,000, 400,000, 7 million. And this is madness. And remember another thing. All the accusations are flying, you know, DeSantis' accusations are flying after he was accused by Corbet of taking cash. So, you know, there's one thing I was taught in criminal law class. When you're accused of something, the first thing you do is deflect. Deflect on anybody.
But that seems to be the one common theme of the whole witness list that's appeared before Gomery's. Everybody says somebody else was responsible. No one has said that it was me. I mean, even in Marc-Yvan Côté's case, where you have a cabinet minister, somehow, and the prime minister of Canada is riding with a briefcase full of cash.
Right.
The cabinet minister says, I didn't ask where the money came from. No one seems to know where the money came from.
Oh, I think they knew. They're just not saying it.
Do you know where this money came from?
I've never even seen these people. The first time I met any of these characters was Jean Brault at that lunch 2 months after I left the party. And the only other person I met was a fabulous lady, Diane Delaurier, who was actually one of the few people from the old Finance Commission willing to work with our cultural communities. And I was so clued out from the ad companies, I didn't know till a year after I met her she was married to Claude Boulet. Look, I tell you...
Wait a second. Jean Brault tells this story, you know, where you go to Chez Frank's, this restaurant. He puts an envelope, he claims, with $5,000 in it. Goes to the bathroom, comes back.
Right.
Envelope's gone.
Yeah.
Did you take that money?
I didn't take it. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. I wasn't even there. And he didn't even say that I did. Let me tell you something about that lunch. That lunch was set up because I'd left the party, I'd restarted my institute, and some 15% of my time is spent taking private corporate mandates. So Joe Marcelli calls me one day in August and says, look, Bro wants to establish contacts in the Anglophone business community. His business is going down. You can name your price with him. Come to a lunch. The weird thing about the story is he doesn't even say he gave me money. He says that he put an envelope in front of Marcelli. I arrive a half an hour late. He goes to the bathroom. He comes back. All of a sudden, I'm there, and the envelope's gone. Why am I going to believe a man who's facing criminal indictment over a man like Joe Marcelli about an envelope?
Did you ever see this envelope?
There was no envelope. I never saw it, though I didn't want it. I don't take cash.
All right.
I'm useless with it. But can you imagine the stupidity of this picture, right? Bro must have had a really big bladder problem that day, by the way, because after I got there, he went to the bathroom 40 minutes later, and I turned to Joe, and I said, Joe, for God's sakes, between the Elvis Presley haircut, between the thin mustache, the sweating, I can't introduce him to this guy. He particularly wanted introductions to three businesses, three major textile companies. I said, I can't bring him into a meeting with the corporate president. He's a greaseball. And he says that I told him what my price was. I said to Bro, look, Mr. Bro, you got to understand how I work. 15-20% of my time is spent taking corporate mandates, real estate finance, corporate finance, advising on these financial issues. And here's my price, $7,500 to $10,000 a month. He says, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're paying for my social action work. That's what the Institute does. I'm taking from you to give to them. No. It's not acceptable. I said, fine. Let's finish our lunch and go. Toward the end of the lunch, he said, look, try to make a couple of calls. And if there's interest, we'll talk again. I made a couple of calls, just like he says in his testimony, by the way. Called him back, said there's no interest. And as he says, he never saw me again for 5 months. So this is what's dangerous about the Gomery process. The guilt by insinuation. He never even accused me of anything, but the headlines had it me taking money or Joe taking money. Now, the day my name was brought up was before the publication ban was lifted. And somebody came from the hearings to my office and said, your name was brought up. I said, how? He said, this lunch. I called Joe, who I hadn't spoken to in 4 months. He was in Florida. His wife wasn't well. And I was livid. Now, I get a lot of death threats because of some of the work I do, particularly in my pro-Israeli work. I've had my website hacked, so I'm in general regular touch with the RCMP. And sometimes I ask them to make sure they're listening on my telephone line at the office. And Joe knows this. And I was just choleric. And I said, Joe, what the hell happened at that lunch? After telling him what the allegation was. And he said, nothing at all. There was no envelope. There was nothing. He said he had business dealings with Bro later on. And that was the end of it. Listen, Jean Bro, in his fourth day of testimony, implicated everybody from Francis Fox down to Jacques Olivier. I think he named the entire liberal world. Somebody sent me a note saying, if you weren't named by Jean Bro, you were nothing for the past 20 years.
I want to wind this down, but I just want to be clear. It sounds to me that you, in the heyday of this, that you were fairly successful in the organization that you brought to the party.
Well, the heyday, the whole thing was 6 months. But we were successful. We had a great organization, 500 new people, $300,000 raised for the party.
But were you basically in a position where you were helping deliver sponsorship money to these communities?
There was no sponsorship money. What does sponsorship money come to do, come into this? There was not a cent of sponsorship money. Look, Anthony, the system doesn't work. Do you get it? The Canadian system doesn't work. It's a bureaucratized, top-heavy system where bureaucrats run between the raindrops trying to do nothing in order to keep their jobs. The fact that politicians promise everything to every bloody group for dancing festivals and cooking weeks doesn't address the social problems. So these groups have nowhere to turn. When we're talking about delivering services, we're not talking about delivering money. I didn't deliver grants to these groups. You had a sporting club that wanted 24 flags. Their MP couldn't get it. I got it for them. You had an interfaith dialogue group, the Council of Christians and Jews, that wanted to get their last annual report to Minister Hedy Fry. Their MP couldn't get it to them. I got it to them. We were working for community institutions. That's what DeZand objected to. And for my money, he objected to it because his mentality is to keep a closed shop.
So listen, when Beryl Wiseman goes to good cocktail parties in Montreal and you talk to other lawyers and all that, are you welcome? Are people okay with you?
Or
are
sure. You... First of all, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a public interest advocate. We run one of the biggest public interest advocacy alliances in the country. My membership has swelled since this, and the work continues. And we now have 1,700 volunteers across the country that are ready to launch a national campaign. They smell the bullshit too. This is a deflection. It's nothing more than that.
Well, Beryl Wiseman, I appreciate your time very much. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you having me on.
Beryl Wiseman is expected to take the stand at the Gomery Inquiry later today. He was in Montreal. Well, your thoughts on Mr. Wiseman, the Gomery Inquiry, or anything you hear on The Current? Call us at 416-205-7878, 416-205-7878, or write us at thecurrent@cbc.ca, or old-fashioned mail, Post Office Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W 1E6.